Good evening, everyone. So Michael got me stressed when he said, I'm talking about Joshua. Well, I was like, I'm doing a different chapter or I'm doing a different topic, but I'm talking about Joseph today. So I'll be talking from Genesis chapter 41. And like Michael said, it was supposed to be two parts. The first part was supposed to be taken by Isaac, but unfortunately, he's still recovering from his surgery. But he has promised he's going to do the next 40 minutes in the next youth night, so that's fine. So today I would like to share with you a short message about the faith in God through challenges and being placed in positions of power. So that's from Genesis chapter 41. So in the previous chapters, we can read how Joseph is unjustly imprisoned and how the cupbearer forgot about Joseph. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 41 and read from verse 1. And now it happened at the end of two full years that Pharaoh had a dream. And behold, he was standing by the Nile. And lo, from the Nile there came up seven cows, sleek and fat. And they grazed in the marsh grass. Then behold, seven other cows came up after them from the Nile, ugly and gaunt. And they stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the seven sleek and fat cows. Then Pharaoh awoke, and he fell asleep and dreamt a second time. And behold, 7 ears of grain came up on a single stalk, plump and good. Then behold, 7 ears, thin and scorched by the east wind, sprouted up after them. And the thin ears swallowed up the seven plump and full ears. Then Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Now it came about in the morning that his spirit was troubled. So he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them. So it's been two full years since the cupbearer was released from the prison. And it is clear that he never kept his word. Joseph's heartfelt plea was easily forgotten upon returning to his normal life. Joseph had to suffer in prison for 2 years. To us, it seems like Joseph was waiting meaninglessly. But what we could not see was God's ultimate plan for a greater gift that he could never, ever imagine. Often we see God use our humanity and failings to achieve his greater goals. The cupbearer of the Pharaoh, despite Joseph's favorable interpretation and plea to be remembered after his predictions came to pass, but the cupbearer forgot Joseph. God chooses to work through all circumstances. The cupbearer forgetting was also in the Lord's hand. It is our job to be patient and wait on the Lord to provide in his ultimate authority. Trusting in the Lord's timing is one of the greatest exercises in patience and faith. Joseph had to rely entirely on God in circumstances that were less than ideal. As believers, we will often be placed in positions of weakness and suffering where we cannot fathom the Lord's purpose. But by verse 37 of this chapter, we see the true reward that the Lord had planned for his servant who stayed humble to the desires and positions the Father placed him on. In our human understanding, our desires may only scratch the surface of what the Lord prepared. But how did the Lord bring about his great plan? So the Pharaoh had two very dramatic dreams, but both dreams were real and disturbing for him. After each Pharaoh was awakened, the dream was distressing to the Pharaoh because it was twice experienced in varying forms, interrupted by him being awakened. The meaning was a puzzle, for the seven lean cows remained lean and gaunt, even after consuming the fat cattle. The same was true with the grain. It was not normal for cows to eat cows or grain to consume grain. But surely, the lean things should have been fattened by what they ate. Something had to be wrong, but what is it? The king's unusual source of information, the magicians were totally baffled. As was Pharaoh. They could not fathom the meaning of the dream. They were the wisest, best educated men of Pharaoh's kingdom, schooled in the arts of interpreting dreams. Lest we may be puzzled by the inability of these men to discern the meaning of these two dreams, at least in general terms, let us be reminded of the fact that two dreams were a revelation from God, and the things of God can only be grasped through His Spirit. We can understand more regarding it by reading 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 14. And it reads like this. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in the words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit. Explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. It should be noted that the Lord used imaginary and familiar and understandable to the Egyptian people. Even then, neither Pharaoh or his magicians could not interpret the dream. These are men who have spent their life studying dreams and prophecy and magic. The king's frustration at having such impressive dreams and yet being unable to know their meaning was too similar to the experience of the cupbearer. Joseph was finally brought to the attention of the cupbearer's mind, and Pharaoh was told of the unusual Hebrew slave with whom this official had spent time. So in Genesis chapter 41, from verse 9, we read, "Then the chief cupbearer spoke to Pharaoh, saying, 'I would make mention today of my offenses. Pharaoh was furious with his servant, and he put me in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard, both me and the chief baker. And we had a dream on the same night, he and I. And I, each of us, dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. Now a Hebrew youth was with us there, a servant of the captain of the bodyguard. And we related them to him, and he interpreted our dreams for us. To each one he interpreted according to his own dream, and it came about that just as he interpreted for us. So it happened, he restored me in my office, but he hanged him.' The substance of the cupbearer's word to his master was that this young Hebrew slave was highly skilled in interpreting dreams. But the cupbearer didn't mention of Joseph's character or his religious faith. Joseph's release and the matter of making things right committed against him were of no interest to the cupbearer. The cupbearer was only concerned about himself. Through this, God was able to make it clear that it was not by any action or ability of Joseph, but the Lord's intervention that led to his release. While we should continue to live a life pleasing to the Lord, it is not our own actions or strengths that prevail, but the hand of the Lord. So from verse 14, "Then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I have had a dream, but no one can interpret it. And I have heard it said about you that you would hear a dream and you can interpret it.' Joseph then answered Pharaoh, saying, 'It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer.' So Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, 'In my dreams, behold, I was standing on the bank of the Nile, and behold, seven cows, fat and sleek, came up out of the Nile, and they grazed in the marsh grass. and lo, seven other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and gaunt, such as I had never seen for ugliness in all of Egypt. And the lean and ugly cows ate up the first seven fat calves. Yet when they had devoured them, it could not be detected that they had devoured them, for they were just as ugly as before. Then I awoke. I saw also in my dream, and behold, seven grains full and good came up on a single stalk, and lo, seven grains withered, thin and scorched by the east wind, sprouted up after them, and the thin grains swallowed the seven good grains. Then I told it to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. So in these verses, when Joseph came before Pharaoh, the distressing dreams of the previous nights were immediately brought up. Joseph could have asked to be released from the captivity to interpret the dream, but he never brought up the subject. His first concern was not with his own comfort, but with God's glory. The ability to interpret dreams, which Pharaoh had credited to Joseph, was not at all his. Only God can interpret dreams, and Joseph quickly corrected it. The young Hebrew slave's words not only clarified the sources of his ability, but they also seemed to give Pharaoh hope that the outcome of Joseph's ministry to him would bring him comfort in his distress. He too should also always give the glory to God. He should always be given the reverence to our every success. Now, Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's dreams are one and the same. God has told to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good grains are 7 years. The dreams are one and the same. And the seven lean and ugly cows that came up from them are 7 years. And the seven thin grains scorched by the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. It is as I have spoken to Pharaoh, God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Behold, 7 years of great abundance are coming in all the land of Egypt. And after them, 7 years of famine will come, and all the abundance will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine will ravage the land, so the abundance will be unknown in the land because of the subsequent famine. For it will be very severe. Now, as for the repeating of the dreams to Pharaoh twice, it means that the matter is determined by God, and God will quickly bring it about. And now let Pharaoh look for a man discerning and wise, and he set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh take action to appoint overseers in charge of the land, and let him exact a fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 years of abundance. Then let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming, and store up the grain for food in the cities under Pharaoh's authority. And let them guard, and let the food become as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which will occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish during the famine. So Joseph skillfully interpreted the two dreams. His interpretation closely followed the two dreams in many circumstances, a fact which could hardly have been unnoticed by Pharaoh, and which added credibility to Joseph's explanation. The two dreams, while different in some details, were one in their meaning. Both dreams were given in order to indicate the certainty of what was to occur. In each instance, seven was the time involved, 7 years. The fat cows and the plum heads of grain were indicative of the 7 years of abundance which were to come and soon in Egypt. The seven gaunt cows and the seven scorched and withered heads of grain foretold the famine which was to follow the years of plenty. The bottom line was that Egypt was to have 7 years of plenty, followed by a famine so severe that all the previous abundance would be consumed. Joseph's ability to interpret dreams is not a mere coincidence. It is a gift from God. When Pharaoh shares his dreams, Joseph quickly attributes the source of his gift to the Almighty God. This teaches us that our talents and abilities are blessings from God, and we should humbly use them for His glory. Joseph's interpretation reveals that there will be 7 years of abundance, followed by 7 years of severe famine. This illustrates the importance of foresight and wise planning in times of plenty, preparing for the challenges that lie ahead. So now, when we continue reading, now the proposal seemed good to Pharaoh and all his servants. Then Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit?" So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and according to your command, all my people shall do homage. Only in the throne I will be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you all over all the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and clothed him in garments of fine linen, and put the gold necklace around his neck. And he had him ride in his second chariot, and they proclaimed before him, "Bow the knee." And he set him all over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Though I am Pharaoh, yet without your permission, no one shall raise their hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." So Pharaoh recognizes Joseph's wisdom and appoints him as second in command over all of Egypt. This dramatic elevation in Joseph's status demonstrates that God can turn the darkest periods of our lives into platforms for His purpose. Joseph's time in slavery and prison wasn't wasted. It was part of God's plan to position him where he could make a difference. This teaches us that God's providence is at work even when we can't see it. So when we get to the final section of this chapter, we can see several purposes. First, it reveals the accuracy of Joseph's interpretation. Second, it evidences the administrative skill of Joseph in handling the affairs of state in preparation for the famine to come. Finally, it reveals to us Joseph's continued spiritual commitment to God. So during the years of abundance, Joseph efficiently stores the food, preparing for the impending famine. His stewardship showcases his faithfulness to God's guidance. As stewards of God's blessings, we are called to wisely manage our resources, not just for ourselves, but for the benefits of others. Joseph's action revealed the importance of using our blessings to bless others and be channels of God's provision. So after the 7 years of abundance, there came the famine, which affected all the lands. The famine also affected Joseph's family back in Canaan, leading his brothers come to Egypt to seek food. So these were the same brothers who sold him to slavery. Without knowing, the brothers they once betrayed now holds their fate in his own hand. Joseph's eventual forgiveness and reconciliation with his brothers revealed the transformative power of grace. Just as Joseph forgave his brothers, we are called to forgive those who have wronged us, recognizing that God can turn even the most painful circumstances into opportunities of redemption. So to conclude, in this chapter, we find a story where a man where a man's journey from the pits of dungeon to the pinnacle of power, where he serves a greater purpose. Joseph's life demonstrates that God's plans are sovereign and his timing is perfect. Through faith, wisdom, stewardship, and forgiveness, Joseph became an instrument of God's salvation for many, saving not only Egypt, but also his family. Joseph's life was characterized by his ability to trust and abide in the Lord. In every struggle and challenge, Joseph bore fruit through the work of God in his life and attitude. As we reflect on this chapter, let us remember that our lives, like Joseph's, have a divine purpose. In times of abundance, let us be wise stewards. And in times of scarcity, let us trust in God's providence. Let us also remember the power of forgiveness and reconciliation, allowing God's grace to transform our relationships. Just as Joseph's story points us to the faithfulness of God, may we too seek to fulfill our purpose as instruments of his love and redemption in a world in need. May the Lord's name be glorified.